Okay, there we go. Okay, no. Got two recorded. All right, it's 8:30. I'm starting. If Pat or anybody else shows up, we'll go ahead and we'll just add them in. So, welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show, episode 8:30, starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Yay! Tonight on the show, we have Flying Rich.
From the Hughes Outpost Orlando Command, where it's just beautiful out.
We have Joe.
From North Texas, where it's been raining.
Yeehaw, and of course, we got Joel here. And I'm going to go ahead and roll right into we'll eventually get to my new phone. I got a Galaxy Note 10 Plus, but I'm going to talk a little bit about why I chose it over the announced yesterday Google Pixel 4 and 4 XL, which has to absolutely been the worst kept secret ever with Google. Because everything that was outed about them is 100% right.
What, did the beta testers leave it in a bar somewhere?
I don't know. No, they first showed it, what it was going to look like back in at Google I.O. last year, you know, or later this year, I mean, earlier this year, I should say. But everything is pretty much the same. And some of the reasons that I kind of went with the Galaxy Note 10 Plus over the Pixels, one of which is sometimes the Pixels feel a little beta, a little bit. A good example of that is my Pixel 2 XLs. Ever since the upgrade to Android 10, it's been solid, you know, and stable, but there's been certain little things that just aren't working. Some of that isn't necessarily Google's fault. It's more the developer's fault. For example, DJI didn't really do anything to support the Osmo Mobile 2 until, like, right before I got the new phone. So, and then a couple things broke with it. So that's one thing. Other things, and this is actually more Google's fault, is I use background play on YouTube, like, constantly, because I have a couple that, you know, basically are just kind of like this Hangouts on air, although now they're using StreamYards and other various tools to stream live on there. But there's no sense of me watching the actual video, because it's just a bunch of avatars flickering back and forth. So I'll put it in background mode and turn the screen off and, you know, stick my phone on a charger and walk around the house doing stuff. Well, occasionally, and now I don't know if it's the phone or if it's YouTube playing games, because I'll say this, you know, the streamers I'm listening to are probably on the conservative bent, mostly, conservative / libertarian, the thing I noticed was this one show that I listen to pretty much every day. I tried to do background mode, and the minute I turn the screen off or flip the YouTube into the background, it stops playing.
Yeah, that's actually what YouTube does now. Did you find out how to get around it?
I heard did if you a little pay bit. For YouTube Premium, that it runs in the background.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm paying for YouTube Premium, but
I can tell you what works.
What I do is clear the cache out. And restart the app, and then usually it might take a couple chances, but then it usually ends up working. But what do you have that works better, Joe, maybe?
It's called YouTube Vanced.
Oh, okay. So another
it's an application, and you have to install another – you have to install the APK separately, so you do have to turn on the whole, you know, install from external. And it works great. You can close your screen, and it'll play in the background.
That's bizarre.
Well, see, I like that idea. Because I'll listen to some stuff, not watch it, and I want to be able to like shove my phone in my pocket and walk and listen to it. And yep. You know, I don't want the stupid display running.
Yep. Yeah.
But the Pixel 4, 4XL, they I think the 4 starts at $7.99, or no, wait a minute, $6.99, and the 4 XL that starts at $7.99. That's for the one with I believe 6 gigs storage for the phone. The max storage, and that's kind of the other thing here too, is the
Hey,
maximum
Rich.
storage is only 128 gigabytes.
Is it my connection that's terrible, or is it Joel's?
Joel's roboing, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I was just checking.
Yeah, you're Cyloning. Just say by your command.
I have a command now.
That was it.
Bird,
yeah.
Huh. Maybe we should just. I don't want to stop my recording. So heck with it.
Oh, Joel. Rich, you're also recording, right?
Yep, I'm recording.
Okay, so we should be okay either way.
Let's see if I can make it a little. Hey,
it sounds better now.
Sounds good now.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can.
Are
just
you
hook
using
it
an unpowered connector or an unpowered USB hub?
No hub. I'm thinking I may need to try and sometime. Well, I'm on Wi-Fi.
Depends.
Yeah, I'm always on Wi-Fi. Door rails against recording podcasts on Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I'm on Wi-Fi, but I'm also like 5 feet from my router, and my Wi-Fi connection is faster than my wired connection.
Yeah, it's usually the case with me too, anyway. I'm just going to leave it alone.
You're total Cylon right now.
Huh. Let me try unplugging and rebooting the headset.
Is your voice over Bluetooth as well?
See, that's something I would only use hardwired. I wouldn't go
wireless exactly
on the headset.
Exactly. Well, a lot of Linux systems have trouble with Bluetooth, not with audio, but with microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Especially both at the same time. So maybe he's secretly on a Windows system right
there
now.
There you go. Better.
Are you on
so
Windows right
better
now?
No. It's Ubuntu.
Okay. Are you on a Bluetooth headset right now?
He can't answer because his Bluetooth cut out.
Okay. What's been going on, Rich?
Just hiding out here in Orlando this week, and I got some gun news. Do you watch Iraq Veteran IV8888 on YouTube?
No, I don't.
Do you know who he is?
You're recording. I'm back.
No. The only vets that I watch are Yusha and what's that guy's name? It's not disgruntled vet. It's
Well, anyhow, there's a big YouTuber shoot this weekend in Georgia, and I went last year, and I got invited this year, even though I'm not a big YouTuber. So, but it's a lot of fun. And if anybody wants to see me doing stuff like that, you can go follow me at flyingrich.com. I got to change my site so I have a link to subscribe to my YouTube.
Oh, did you say a
that
combat veteran?
Huh?
What?
Did you say a combat veteran?
Yeah, he's a combat veteran. It's Iraq veteran.
Oh, no, this guy is actually called a combat veteran. That's his,
oh,
okay. YouTube channel. You know, I watch his.
I gotcha. Yeah, so I went last year, going this year, so I'll probably do some live streaming and posting. So
cool.
Check out flyingrich.com because I'll probably have updates there.
And back to the rest of the Google news, hopefully. How am I sounding?
Not so good.
Really?
Yeah, still pretty bad.
Let me try
get rid of
that
Turtle
that
Beach headset.
Yeah, it's not the reason, because I actually completely lost connection to Mumble just a minute ago. Let me try rebooting my router.
So, Joe, what's the weather like in Texas right now?
It's been rainy. The temperature's
rainy
come down
like
a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple times when it's been down in the 30s, and now it's supposed to be back up in the 90s again.
True. Yeah, that's the problem when you live inland, which I never knew anything about until I started IT consulting in the Midwest.
Yeah. I'm not used to it. I spent too long in the desert.
Yeah, because I've lived pretty much most of my life a mile from the ocean, you know.
Oh, my wife says it's only going to get up to the high 80s and the lows will be in the 40s.
Woo, man, that's one hell of a swing.
Or
Just
50s.
not used to that.
Says
Yeah.
50s the
I
next
think it was
week.
74 this morning, which was pretty nice.
Yeah. Like I said, I miss the desert.
Yeah, but it gets stink cold in the desert at night, right?
Only comparatively.
Yeah.
The sun's not baking you, so it feels much less hot.
Right, I bet.
I haven't been up to much lately. Mostly just, hanging out with the wife and the kids.
Oh, yeah, we went on a college visitation last weekend, University of Georgia. Big campus, a lot of people there. It seems like they, out-of-state tuition is like a world of hurt, but it seems like they waive a lot of out-of-state tuition for people. Because I met two girls showed my daughter around, and for each of them, they got their out-of-state tuition waived. So, if Skylar goes there, good for her.
Yeah, well, I know a bunch of the border colleges, right between or right on the border of a state will allow the surrounding counties to enroll without paying the out-of-state tuition.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I keep whining about my finances and if anybody looks at my videos and stuff like that and says, "Hey, Rich, you got a lot. It looks like an expensive car, an expensive house, an expensive," and that is why I'm broke.
Yeah.
Because,
Yeah. I'm there with
I
you.
bought, well, I bought all that stuff when I was making crazy good money and I was consulting and, billing out 40 to 60, 80 hours. I'm sorry, 60 to 80 hours a week. And I had a couple of lean years where I didn't work, and so I'm screwed.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd love to be able to pay, write a check and send my daughter wherever. And the unfortunate thing is, the way the college application does say, "Hey, have you had a world of financial hurt in the last 10 years?" Because the answer would be yes. But they don't do that. They're like, "Hey, what's your salary? What?" And I have a good salary. My wife has a good salary, and we got a good amount of debt.
Right. Well, there's supposed to be, I think there's some extra paperwork you can do that will not only take your income into account, but your output as well, the amount of debt that you have when
Yeah,
applying
that
for
would be
things
nice.
like financial aid.
Yeah, that would be a big deal. Because unfortunately, whatever we've saved is what she'll get, and if she needs more, it's going to be a hardship.
Yeah. Until I, moved out in Dallas way, I was only making like $36,000 a year and trying to raise three kids on that.
Oh my gosh, that's what? Is that 14 grand below the poverty line?
No, it's not that far below the poverty line. I'm not even sure it is below. I think it's right at the poverty line, especially for where we were living at the time.
And anybody that's listening to me and talk about money and saying you're full of whatever, blah, blah, blah. I remember back in the day when I was like, oh, if I could only get a job for 30 grand a year, life would be so good. Because I
Oh,
was
yeah.
working weddings on the weekend and, busting my ass. And it was one of those things at that time. if I didn't bring my lunch to work and cook every meal myself, and I'm talking cheap meals, I was going to go hungry. You know, not I never missed a meal, I never went hungry, but it was, you know, buying something at McDonald's would have been a deal breaker financially.
Well, one of the weird things was, before I got that job making 36 a year, I was making like 18 or 19 a year working at 7-Eleven. So that was a big bump for me. But the problem got to be I no longer qualified for all the programs that was making, the place I was at livable.
Oh boy. Kind
And
of like when they talk about donut hole. Yeah, and you know, a couple of things happened to me early on. I always said, oh, I wish there was some sort of thing that, you know, some sort of program, if they could give me a couple hundred a month, it would make a world of difference to me. And part of I'm kind of glad I never got it because I learned to bust my ass and work crazy hard. And you know, it's a good work ethic to have.
yeah. Well, no, I the whole time that I was, on assistance, I was working towards not being on assistance.
And good for you, because for many people, that's a way of life. That's a generational thing.
Right. And you can kind of see where that's at because it really seemed like, the harder I worked to get away from it, the more of a hardship it put on me because, yes, I was making more money, I was paying more in taxes. But I didn't have the liquidity that I had when I was making less money.
Well, yeah, and because the amount of and let's just say you make 100 grand a year, you don't get to spend 100 grand a year. You get,
85-ish.
85 or so. And likewise, when you start
Well,
getting a check for take home.
it's actually less than that. I mean, it's 85 after taxes ish, but you still have, you're legally required now to pay for health insurance. And once that happened, the price of health insurance shot through the frickin' roof. So it's even
Yep.
less. It's like,
Thanks, Obama.
yeah. It's like,
And just
what, 70, 65, somewhere in that range? Well, it depends if you're single or if you have a family. It's really expensive if you have family.
so more than 10 years ago when I got married, I was working for Cornell Medical Center in Manhattan. And to cover myself, my wife, and my daughter, basically it goes single, married with children. So I could have eight kids, I could have one kid, it didn't make a difference. It was 500 a month, which, you know, 10 plus years ago, that was considered
That's
pretty high. Yeah, that was considered really high. But the level of care that I got for that 500 a month, I could not copay anything. There was like, if it was a not a generic brand, I think I had a $5 copay on pharmaceuticals. But that was it. Any doctor, any specialist, any medicine, worst case, I paid $5. And, you know, it was nice to know. And knock on wood, let me find some wood here. My family is super healthy, so we haven't needed any extensive care. But now, post Obamacare, where our rates were going to lower on average $2,500 per family, we're paying over 500 a month, and basically we're getting a health savings account. I just went to a walk-in clinic, and when I say just, earlier this year. And they wanted $50, and I don't even know if it was a physician. It might have been a physician assistant or a nurse practitioner. I got my temperature, blood pressure, and I don't know what else done, and it was like $342. You know, I got the, I figured it was $50. Hey, that wasn't bad. You know, whatever. And then it's like, oh, their agreement with Aetna is, you know, 340. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, what if I didn't have Aetna? They're like, oh, it'd be 370. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, that's just a war. And the only problem is, you know what? If you go in to buy a steak, you know how much the steak is, whether you're buying a steak at a supermarket or you go to Ruth's Chris, it's on the menu. But you're like, oh man, I got a bad head cold. Let me go to the doctor immediately and head this off at the pass. Well, when it's $300 effing, they tell you go home, drink chicken soup. That, yeah. You know, that's a world of hurt. That is incredibly wrong. That,
yeah, and yeah, they don't post their prices, and they don't really allow you to shop around. It's just you walk into a place. Guess what? You're paying their prices.
And not like I'm an IT medical specialist, but I've worked for a number of hospitals, and I'm working for a hospital right now, which absolutely great organization. But again, you know, I went to their walk-in clinic, and financially, I guess they're dealing with the same thing everybody else is. And, you know, it's I just figured I was going to walk away paying $50 to get my temperature taken. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's like I've talked about Wish before. I was looking on Wish.com. Believe it or not, you can actually buy CPAP supplies on Wish.com. I don't know how good they are, but
and I do
they look okay.
I do want to mention that my wife also worked really hard during that whole time that we were collecting.
Mm-hmm. Well, my wife's an RN. She does medical risk management. She works for a hospital, so we happen to be on her plan. But just because we were on her plan for a long time, and my plan didn't look any different.
Right.
But well, that you know, you bring up supplies, medical supplies, stuff like that. I kind of want to yell and scream when I hear them talking about, well, you know, you can get gray market medical stuff from Canada. Like what? Canada? It's not like Canada's Venezuela. And they're putting like right. Chicken poop in capsules and sending it. It's like, are you telling me Pfizer Canada you can't trust, but Pfizer America you can? What are the poor Canadians doing if, you know, they're buying Pfizer Canada drugs? And you know, us in America shouldn't trust Pfizer Canada. That is, if anybody could logically explain that to me, they deserve a Nobel Peace Prize.
Or the fact that when you occasionally buy medicine from Mexico and it's bottled in the exact same place as the stuff you were getting from the U.S., but it's okay to buy from the U.S., but it's gray market to buy it from Mexico?
Well, now I didn't realize what was going on with this stuff. Where was I? I was in Costa Rica, and I bought Dramamine for my girlfriend at the time. On the way down, it was like $20 in New York for a box of Dramamine. Well, in Costa Rica, a box of Dramamine is like $3.
Yeah. Well, my wife was just telling me that there's this medicine that she had to take for a while. That was costing $200 and something for a 30-day supply. 10-day supply, excuse me. And that she could get the same supply from Mexico for $3.
It's serious. And, yeah. You know, it is. It's just that us suckers in the U.S. will pay for it. That's
well,
what it comes
insurance,
down to.
What boggles my mind with that, and then I want to get back
and
to
it's tech. Bottle. It's mind bottling, not boggling. You got
yes.
It wrong.
No, more boggling, but... My son, he's on dextroamphetamine for part of his behavioral stuff, and I went to go refill it. That's a controlled substance. You can't do a 90-day supply on that. Go in there for a 90-day supply, my out-of-pocket, $10. Okay. Any of the other things I go and get, you know, like... you know, I think my metformin's about 20 or 35. That's just under my plan. It's like 20 or 35 for a 90-day supply or something like that. But they literally, if anything at all can be considered a maintenance drug, they force you to go to 90-day supplies. So, for example, I'm on Sonata for sleep. All right. I don't freaking take one every night, but they act like I do. So they give me a 90-day, they force me to get a 90-day supply. That 90-day supply lasts me 6 months. So I mean, because you know, now granted, it depends. You know, whatever's going on in my life. Like lately, I've been taking a lot because I've been under a lot of stress with the change of job and all that. But you know,
vodka's cheaper, you know.
Yeah, but then there's that other thing there with the vodka. But anyway, so but yeah, it's ridiculous, you know. And I just keep thinking all this other stuff too, like I bought a blood pressure monitor that wasn't covered under insurance that actually wasn't that expensive, okay? But the thing I like about that is that it synchronizes with an app on my phone, so I can bring the phone with me and show my doctor that, yeah, everything is working. It's just when I'm in the freaking doctor's office, my blood freaking high. Anyway, but for my wife to get a blood glucose monitor, okay, she has to test. She's supposed to test before she eats every time. All right. And the only one that insurance will pay for is the cheap one. You can get them where you can plug them in your phone, and the meter itself is not expensive. It's the cost of the strips, and they won't cover the strips because it's not the standard crappy crap one that they have, so they won't insure this the test strips. So if we were to do those, it'd be 200 or 300 a month at least. So it just depends on which version that you go with. There's multiple ones, but being able to track that and be able to look back at what those kinds of things is critical to just control, trying to adapt your diet and control your diet and fix that stuff. So, I'm just glad that everything, I must be sounding better because you're not complaining. So.
No, we're still complaining. We just don't want to hear you.
Yeah, whatever. So other Google stuff to get back to that.
Oh, tech? We're good at tech?
They brought out another mini, or actually not Google Home Mini, it's Google Nest Mini now. I can't, other than they supposedly has a what a neural chip or something in it, I don't know. And a little bit better speaker and a hole in the back so you can just hang it on the wall without needing anything but a screw. I really don't know what's different about it than the ones I already have, so I might buy one. But the thing that boggled my mind the most of their announcement, yes, is the new Pixelbook Go. I read stories on The Verge and on Engadget, and the cost of this thing is $630, and they said that was affordable. I'm like, are you nuts?
Dude, I got a $200 Chromebook.
If I
Touchscreen.
If I'm
Refurb.
spending that much buying a full-on laptop, forget that
Yeah,
mess.
pretty
Right,
much.
right. Yeah, my Chromebook, $200, 15-inch backlit keyboard touchscreen. It's a refurb.
It's
I'm
pretty.
loving it.
I'll give him that.
What
But
size screen?
15.
Okay.
on the Google one, it's 16, I think.
I tend to pay sub $200, but I will get Windows tablets, convertibles, and make them Linux machines. But I've talked about that before, so.
Actually, it's not 630, it's $650
Unless it's a
for
gaming laptop, I don't see the point.
right. If you have a purpose for it, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially when you're running Chromos on it most times. It's only got like a 1080p webcam, for
Well,
using Duo and.
last year, wasn't there a $1,000 Chromebook?
Yes, that's
Yeah, I
what the
think
original
so.
Pixelbook was, yeah.
I don't. $1,000, I'm buying a real good
Yeah.
laptop.
Yep.
Or I'm buying a really freaking loaded Nook. A high-end Nook.
Yep. Actually, I take it back. The Pixelbook Go is a 13-inch display. Let's see. Oh, okay. Here we go. The low-end one is the $650 one is a Intel Core M3 with 8 gigs of RAM and 64 gigs of storage. All
Well,
right.
you can get an i5 with 8 gigs of RAM and 256 gigs of replaceable storage and pay between $120 and $200. Granted, it's an 11-inch screen or an 11.6-inch screen, I think. Getting the Dell Venue, well, the 7130, the 7140, the 7139, any of them really.
So that's the lowest one. The highest one has 16 gigs of RAM, 256 gigs of storage, with a 4K screen for $13.99. I've got more than that, and I pay right about the same for my Surface. So,
Yeah, I've seen some good
yeah.
prices on the surfaces lately.
Yeah, well, you can probably pick up the Surface Pro 6 pretty cheaply now, which is the one I have, because they brought out the 7. But
But if you're the older ones, I wouldn't go older than the three.
yeah, I wouldn't either. But 650, I'm sorry, that's not affordable. And for you can get Surface Go if they still have them, probably for less than that, and it's about the same specs.
Yeah, that's still the M line of processors,
Yep, M3, yep. So, but besides that, and back to the phone for a moment, I'm not impressed. They only
hold
have two
on.
storage levels, six.
Before
Go
you get
ahead.
back to the phone, does the 6 have USB-C charging?
No, it does
Well,
not.
that's a good thing to mention then, because the Go, if I remember right, does have
It
USB-C
does.
charging, and that's the only one in the
Correct.
line, unless the 7 does now. I sure as
The
heck hope the
seven
7
does
does.
now. Well, I don't know if it's for charging, but it does have USB-C ports.
Okay.
So, which is, and I don't know if they're the Thunderbolt style. That's at least with the surfaces. So that's kind of where it compares to the what Google's doing with laptops. The phones, I'm not that impressed with them. I mean, they got their cameras going on. They have some of the best, the only ones who have comparable cameras are going to be Samsung or Apple. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. They all use great cameras. The tops on Android are going to be either Samsung or the Pixels. And of course, then there's the iPhone.
Right, because
But
OnePlus, from what I understand on the 7, just didn't do very well with their camera software this time around.
right. So, but then they only had 64 gig or 128 gig of storage options. And the base Note 10 Plus, and I think the Note 10 is also the same as
No,
256
I
gig.
think with the
So,
Note 10 non-plus, there was a 128 gig version.
well, I wasn't looking at that one. Because one upside for the Note 10 Plus is that it has a SD card slot. The regular Note 10 doesn't. So that's kind of one of the reasons why I went for it.
Right. And if I remember right,
So what's the price difference? It's considerable,
$200
actually. Yeah.
between the 10 and the 10 plus.
And then I add another, I think then probably add another 100 if you get the 5G variant.
Yeah, well, I wanted to mention that the if from what I was reading, it wasn't out at the time when I was looking at phones. The 5G variant does not have the micro SD card slot.
Mine does, and it's 5G.
Oh, okay.
Yep, I see. Put it this way, I'm pretty sure it does. It has a SIM tool, and it's usually in the same slot as the SIM.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure it does.
Oh, you haven't put yours in yet? I thought
But
you had.
no, the SIM was in the phone already,
Oh, so you haven't
so
put the
I didn't
micro
have to
SD card
open.
in yet.
No, the only micro SD card I have that's free right now is a 64 gig one, and it's hardly worth point putting it in when the internal storage is 256. So I could, but so the Note 10 is 949 for the 256 gig variant of Ryzen, pretty much everywhere. And the 512 gig version. Well, that's also the other a little frustrating thing too is with the different colors that are available for really on both sides for both the Notes and the Pixels. The one that's color that's available everywhere on the Pixels is the Aura, which that's actually the one I got, the silvery looking one. Silvery rainbowish looking one. But they have a really nice blue that I've seen, but Ryza doesn't have it. They only have the Aura, the Aura White, the Aura Black, or the plain old Aura. So, but I like my phone. So it's really pretty cool. I played around with decks a little bit, and now I really want to get one of those USB-C LCD screens.
They work well.
Get a USB cable that goes to HDMI.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. there's a screen. If you look on YouTube, there search for Note 10 Plus portable decks. DEX, and then you'll find that there's a guy, he did a video using this screen. It's an IPS display he had. Basically, it's all it'll just run off of, when it runs off a phone, it's weird, when it runs off a phone, it will only mirror the phone, but once you plug the screen into a battery along with the phone, then it'll run DEX. So, and what was your question there, Rich?
Don't know.
Well, no, I do have one of the USB-C screens, and I did see the screen mirroring, but I guess I had to hook it up to a powered hub to make it work properly, and I didn't see it go into DeX mode. Mm. And that was an AOC USB-C.
Okay, and I don't have one of those right now. I do have a...
No, you know what? It's not USB-C. I was wrong. It's USB 3.0, but the 3.0B connector...
That's my problem, yeah. Right?
Well, that's my problem.
Yep. I could try it on my AOC screen, but it's pretty shitty resolution anyway. I don't want to use that for it.
It's not the greatest resolution. It's definitely not those, you know... $200 ones that I keep seeing in the YouTube videos, people trying out.
Yeah, those are really, I think those are touchscreens as well. But I will say app.
Did I mention I'm going to the Iraq veterans shoot this weekend?
Yeah, you brought
it up. Did already.
Okay.
I do like the Samsung Switch app that they had on there. You install the app on your other phone.
Yeah, that was really
and then,
helpful.
Yes, it was. I mean, it actually not just got the pictures and stuff.
Apps.
Some apps, actually, I didn't even have to log in again. Some apps, they just went right in.
The background.
That was cool. Yeah. But I'm really impressed with that. They did a great job with that app.
Yep, it was a really useful tool that you only use once.
Yeah, I know. So,
Oh, yeah.
For a case, I did print one that I used yesterday, mainly. But then... while I was when I took a lunch break yesterday, I'd already Verizon has some really cool thing now where basically you can go and order the phone online and set it to pick up at the store, okay, which is exactly what I did. I set up everything online for the phone, paid for it and all that. I walk into the store, give them my name, show my ID. They go into the back, they grab a bag, which has my phone in it already, and they hand it to me and says, "You're done. See ya." I'm like, "Really? That's it? Nothing?" "Yeah, you can do the activation at home." I'm like, "Okay, that's the way I'm going to do it from now on." It's just so much easier.
Yeah, I had to jump through a crap ton of hoops to be able to get my phone. I ended up at a couple of different stores because one of the stores,
really?
Their kiosks, I guess they had older kiosks or something, but they'd keep timing out while I was trying to buy the phone.
Yeah, I did 3D print a case, and I still have it. I'm not going to throw it away. But I'm gonna make a backup case because I did buy a Spigen,
Right.
Spigen Ultra Hybrid, crystal clear one, so you can actually see what the phone looks like through the case, because it is really pretty. But that one I got it for $11 on Amazon.
Yeah, that was another thing that kind of got me. They're like, we'll give you 10% off if you buy three peripherals, but we're going to charge you 10 times the amount for the peripheral that you can get it, the same
Yes.
thing on Amazon.
They'll charge you $50 for an $11 case.
Yeah. $30
Now,
for a $5 screen protector.
if they can just, well, actually, you didn't need that because the Note 10 Plus comes with
Right.
one.
Well, I got the tempered glass screen protector. I probably don't need it, but it's better to have it and not need it.
I guess. I haven't taken it off, obviously. I just, because it's so perfect, I don't really need
Yeah,
to.
it is.
But
You don't even know it's there until you take it off.
right. And when I go to replace, if I do break it and I go to replace it, then the replacement won't look as good. I guarantee you that.
Buy your screen protectors on Amazon. They have like 3 packs and five
Yeah.
packs
Oh
for
yeah,
like
if
under
I need one,
$10.
I'll do that. I'm trying to find that screen. I can't. I'll have to find it because it's actually really nice. Because actually, my work laptop has a USB-C out, so I can probably use that as an external screen for my work laptop when I'm at home anyway. Because my AOC one is not even 1080p, which sucks.
Use your TV.
Actually, my plan is I'm gonna buy one of the docks. I'll probably buy I don't know if I showed you that $30 one. They had the Ethernet built into it on Amazon. I think that's the one I'm gonna buy. If I have that and the HDMI, I'm go to Orlando area for our working our meeting week in December. I want to probably throw that in the suitcase with it, along with my Logitech K400 wireless keyboard, and plug that into my TV so I can watch Netflix on the TV. And I could even use the browser. Now, the one thing I will say this: when you're using DeX,
Joel, I just want to let you know,
yeah,
5150 sent me a note and he said, if I'm not around to
he
spoon
didn't.
with, you can spoon with Joel. He said he'd send it to me just before he
Yeah.
died.
I don't believe that, but anyway.
So I figure when you're in Orlando, we
I'm at
can
the
work that out.
Hampton Inn in Lake Mary, so.
Alrighty, buddy. So what are we going to do? What kind of crazy
So,
stuff?
well, the bad thing is, since it's a work meeting week, we'll probably be together till 10 o'clock every day. So at 10 o'clock at night, I'm probably going to be a pumpkin when I'm there. But or later, it just depends. I don't know what kind of meals and meeting like fun stuff that we have planned beyond just being
Yeah,
there, but.
Rich, you don't come visit me when you're, a couple of miles away. Why would Joel come visit you?
Yeah.
Really? Was Gainesville a couple miles away from you?
Comparatively.
Well,
Yeah. Well,
you would
further
have
the
loved it.
news, I just saw a post on XDA. Google quietly discontinues the Daydream VR. I have it. It's just a little bit better than a cardboard, to be honest. I might try and get hold of the Samsung one, although I don't think it works with the Note 10 Plus.
Gainesville is an hour away.
Yeah, that's not close, dude. Especially if you've never driven in Gainesville and in Florida before.
No, he's talking Gainesville, Texas, and an hour away.
Oh, sorry.
Gainesville, Texas isn't a big deal. It's going to be all decent roads.
That's a daily
Yeah,
commute.
in Texas. Yep. But I plan on doing that. But one of the fun things that I have been doing is writing PowerShell. I finished my script today. I finally figured out how to move files up to the S3 bucket.
Hey, can I ask you guys to do a favor for me? Really, it's for a listener. In the root of Mumble is Cherry Hill Tony. Can you drag him into the listening booth? I can't because I'm on a Chromebook.
Nope, I
I
was
just tried
denied.
and I was denied. I don't have privileges to move people.
Nope, neither do I.
Just want
Do
bong.
not either.
Well, too bad with Dan's here because then he can do the actual
How come we
stream.
don't have privileges?
Because it's Delwyn's server.
Because I'm the new guy.
And I never had privileges. Only like Dan and Pat
I
and
think
like have
Alan
them.
does.
Yeah, Alan did too, but. I think they also actually announced the sale of the Stadia boxes too. I'm just not interested in Stadia. It looks interesting, but I'm actually more
I
interested.
think it's a great name.
Oh, it is a great name.
But
It's
I don't
memorable.
know.
But.
The thing that interested me with all of the Google announcements is they say that the Google Assistant will run without connecting to the internet and it'll run better.
Yes.
So that's to me is a big deal.
That's what their
But
AI core in
also
it.
with increasing paranoia, my wife wants me to remove the Google Home and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
And I never got Snips running, and but I figure I probably ought to try to get Snips running on my Mac first because it has a microphone and a speaker. So in case there's any driver issues, I can oh, at least I can get my config right and then figure out the driver issues later.
Ah, Terry Hill Tony is in the listening booth. He must have figured it out.
Yay! Welcome to the listening booth, Tony.
But I just put a link in the IRC and in the Mumble chat to a new device called I believe it's called the Analog, which is a actual it looks like a device that well it can also be a digital audio workstation, a portable one, but it can play like Game Boy games.
Yeah, it looks a lot like a Game Boy.
Yep, it's the pocket analog pocket, I should say. Says out of the box pocket is compatible with Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance library. That's out of the box. It works with the cartridge adapters for other handheld systems too, like the Game Gear, Neo Geo Pocket, Atari Lynx and more. So if you're into retro games, this sounds like a really interesting device.
Pocket is shipping in 2020 for $199.
That ain't bad.
It's bad when you consider that you can build one for cheaper.
Well, that's the only thing that's bad.
But I guess you have to be
Or
kind of inclined to do that.
you can buy a used like a used one of these each of these devices probably for far cheap. You can probably get two or three of them for cheaper than that.
There's entire write-ups on how to do the Pi Girl.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Oh, that's cool naming. Girl, what's a pie girl? Oh.
Oh,
Pie girl.
let's see how
Ooh.
much the Pi Girl kit, which I guess gets you everything other than the 3D printed case. Oh, Raspberry Pi not included, and the case is not included. So you'd have to still, make the case. But 60
It's
bucks.
spelled funny. Yeah, 50. It's 54.95. And it's Pi GRRL or Pi Girl.
Yep.
The only thing. Wait a minute. Does it come with a case or does it have STL support?
No, it should be the STL. Well, you can get the STLs. but I don't. It says.
It looks 3D printed. It definitely is 3D printed.
Yeah, it says the case plus Raspberry Pi not included. So it's all the switches, the screen, and
okay, and the
PCB for the switches.
I'm really surprised that the button pads aren't pre-populated. You have to solder all the.
Reason to bust out the soldering iron.
Yeah, I'd have to get a different tip for mine, because those are pretty small pads right there. That's an interesting project. I don't know if I'd want to do that or not.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess since the kit is $60 and you'd have to have a 3D printer and...
Yeah.
And then the Pi, you're looking between, $25 to $55, depending on which one you
other
put
than
on.
The cost, other than the cost of the printer itself, the filament supplies would be fairly cheap for this. Yeah. In fact, I would estimate you can probably print all of this in probably less than 12 hours. So, except for the labor of soldering things in, it is cheaper.
I don't call soldering labor.
It's labor, dude. I mean, it's not physical labor.
No,
but
soldering is not labor.
But
I guess it depends on your skill level and the
yes.
size of the solder joint.
All right.
That's true.
Crap I've soldered's been in space. And that's all I got to say.
Yeah, but when you're soldering a lot of really, really tiny connections, even with a magnifying glass, your head begins to hurt.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, looking through the loop at the freaking solder joints.
Yep. Well, that's how, you know, that's like my wife will say. You,
and I did that back when I could see.
When your job... In your job, you just sit on your ass all day. How are you so tired at the end of the day? Because I use my brain, dude.
It wears you out.
It does. It does. Well, and it's like, you know, I'll get to the point where if I'm on the system for a couple hours and even I just need to walk away for a few minutes.
Sitting is the next smoking.
Yeah, probably is.
No, well.
Well, in Ohio. I'm not sure when this month, but in Ohio they raised the smoking the tobacco age to 21. Not that it matters to me because I don't give a crap. I don't smoke. I should say I don't smoke anymore. I did when I was younger, and usually only when I was drinking.
Yeah. Well, talking about using your brain at work. My manager is currently on vacation, so I'm doing his job and my job. And yeah.
Don't you love that?
It's kind of, well, I'm mostly doing his job and then trying to do my job because my job is to make sure that everybody is trained and actually doing their job.
Yeah.
But like today, crap was getting missed left and right by, certain members of my team because they weren't paying attention because I wasn't, you know, all over them like toothpaste. So,
yep.
Because, you know, I just taken up the slack there and it's like, you know, I need to be able to trust people to do the dang job, especially if, you know, I'm on vacation or something. And I'm just wondering where I'm dropping the ball here.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of some of the stuff that I've been going through lately. You know, I move over to the new team. I still won't have some things that are set right yet in systems. and it's just changing from one division to another. It's like, I don't know how that works, but...
Do people still ping you about your old job?
Yes.
Constantly?
Yes. Not constantly, but like I had two PMs ping me today. Like, do you know how long it would take to do this? I said, talk to these guys. I don't do this no more. The one was an easy question. That easy enough question. I just answered. Says, we have to talk to distribution services, but. But I got the Atari Plus, then I got this guy, for the last 2 months he's been pinging me about this is a month before my change and now almost a month after about doing a health check for an on-prem client in February next year. And I'm like, well, the first time it came in, I didn't answer them because I'm like, dude, February, I'm not even thinking about January yet. But then he pinged me today, today, and said, I'm sorry, I'm not in professional services. I didn't even get a, well, congratulations on your new positions from this guy. He CC'd me on a bunch of emails to get his stuff rescheduled. I'm like, thanks for nothing, dude. I'm like,
Oh, the sideways call out. Let me send you this email, but at the same time, I'm gonna include your manager and your manager's manager to try and make sure this gets done quickly.
it's like I get I got an email from my manager today. Can you fill this out? It's over there. And I'm like, well, I would if I could, but I can't because I don't have any tasks out there to bill it against. I can't see nothing. That's okay though. Yeah, I'm having a blast though. I do like my job. I've been I like being on a team where being a senior member actually means something. Because in my old team, we had two seniors and a principal, and
Is that just because you're old, you're the senior member?
it's because I've been doing this stuff for 20 plus years now. Same reason as you, dude. But then comes the wackiness, like he had to explain to them why tests work differently than production.
Because your test
So,
environment does not match your production environment at all.
of course, it's like, okay, do you want me to hook your production AD up to your test environment? That means you can't actually change passwords for user accounts so that you can actually test with real data. How, stuff like that, And they're like, eh. I said, if you need to meet with me, let me know. I'll set up a call. We can do it, and I can explain to you. I can show you why, And they're like, well, this is not how it worked on. Yeah, I guarantee you, this is how it worked on on-prem because there's no way that you. Oh, Lord, I'm not gonna get into it. But I finally got read-only access to AWS consoles. I don't. We don't. That's the platform team sets up the VM the instances in Amazon. So I don't do that. I do help maintain them, of course, and we do a lot of stuff. We're working on a lot of stuff to do automation. That's kind of some of the things I was doing with this script. Basically, the goal is to set a task scheduler task to copy a directory and zip the directory up, and then pop it up to S3, and that's my script. That's what it did. It actually was pretty easy. I use there's a good guide for that for the PowerShell commands that I was able to find the command write dash S3 object is the command that I used in PowerShell, and that
So,
actually let me copy the
are
zip
you
file.
using PowerShell on Windows or are you using PowerShell on Linux?
PowerShell on Windows. On the Linux host, we're using Korn.
No, because
So we use Korn
I
Shell.
actually have heard a couple of people raving about PowerShell on Linux.
I know you can run it there. And that's an actual interesting question, because it makes me wonder if we'd want to do that. I don't think we would, because it just doesn't
Well,
seem
since
right,
you're writing it all in PowerShell, that makes for easier migration later on if you do end up on
Well, it
Linux.
will and it won't, because depending on the command, the commands could have drive letters in them, and
Right.
there's no drive letter in
So
Linux,
you're hard
so
coding
it may.
the directories?
Well, all of our clients have their main the main folder for the application is on the D drive, so it's always on the D drive. So it, you know, that's
so
just the way
the answer is yes, you're hard coding.
So yes. Yes.
You know what we call that, right?
This
poor programming.
Well, it's Windows. I guess you could parameterize it, and I probably should in some of the cases. I actually am, for the most part, trying to parameterize everything as possible. On the Linux side, we're basically going to do, I don't know if he's done it with some of his scripts yet, but we're going to have one script that every script will call that will basically set the environments up that the script needs. So it sets up a couple environment variables, including a hashed password and stuff like that. But the we had the meeting, the process improvement meeting, and I said, "Why don't you do this?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, we should do that." I'm like, "I'll do," and he's like, "I'll do it." And I'm like, "Thankfully, you didn't give it to me to do."
Yeah,
but because usually when you say something like that, that's usually what ends up happening.
Oh, that's a good task for you to do.
But well, because you know he was putting the script, the specific things, like there is a stored password, and it's hashed, so it's not clear text, that set to an environment variable, and he was setting that in every one of the scripts, and I said, "Dude, do it in one script first, and then that way you only have one place to change when you change the passwords."
Yeah.
So, yeah, but things like that. One of my managers is a huge fan of automating everything as much as possible, and like I said, that's one of the things we're trying to do. Certain things we just can't automate. I can't imagine that we're going to be able to automate software updates specific to our product. Now, like OS updates, that's not my team. That's our platform team that takes care of those. But those could be automated because they pretty much are, you know. But other than that, the rest of stuff, like things we're trying to do is we're trying to set up the environment so that if they boot thing, if when they're patching, doing the Windows patches, if they boot things in the right order, that the application just comes right up. Things like that. So it's fun. It's fun. I like it. It's been a challenge. It's one of those things. It's very team focused, which I like. So a lot of times, they'll throw out a Zoom into the Slack channel and says, "Hey, if somebody's free, can you hop in? I need a second set of eyes." And that happens all the time. So I mean, and as I'm a senior, I'm usually expected to jump into those sometime too. But
yeah.
Plus, the other thing we're trying to do is make life as easy as possible for the guys in Bangalore, which take care of the after-hour stuff.
Yeah. You ever get the problem where, you know, you try to make things as easy as possible for your APAC team, and then your APAC team doesn't actually come back and tell you what the hell went on in their shift?
Not yet, because we have turnover calls. I've been invited to the ones at noon, with the India turnover call, because that's when our team takes over for the on-call. But there's usually also one in the evenings at like 8, I think. I'm not invited on those ones, which that's okay. I don't need to be there. Eventually, once I'm 100% fully operational, which I'm pretty close now, they're going to throw, basically there's going to be the associate and regular system admins are going to have the three-week rotation there, and then the 4 to 5 senior positions, which includes me, we would be the second level. So we'd have to carry our phones and stuff, but we wouldn't have to jump in unless they need help. So, and that's on P1s, and for some reason we get paid on P2s as well. So,
So you know they exist.
What'd you say?
It's just so you know P2s exist.
I guess.
Yeah, they're uncommon, but they are around.
Yeah, what was funny was they were we have some certs expiring in like December on some of our hosts, and the monitoring tools are flagging them as P1s in the system right now. And I'm like, no, they're not P1s. We've got time. We don't have to get this done until November. Come on.
Oh. Well, you can plan it. You can start planning documentation.
Yeah, that's essentially what we're doing. So, I mean, they
write the change control.
Correct. They're writing the rec so the rec can get approved, and then they'll convert that to a change, and then, yeah. Gotta love snow! Or otherwise known as service someday. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, service now.
Still, now, all of these tools, what are the stupid tools? We got ServiceNow and
Remedy?
What is the...
Datadog?
What's the German one?
The German one? I know, the ones I know of are ServiceNow and Heat. That's another one.
No, but...
That's a ticketing system.
For...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for stack
SAP?
Management, you know, infrastructure... SAP. And do you know what SAP stands for?
Not off the top of my head. I used to, back when I worked with it.
Software Application Program. Somehow they're all synonyms of each other.
Isn't that great?
What's the other one? Didn't Oracle buy it? Or it exclusively runs on Oracle databases? Well, the
isn't SAP a message conversion system?
No, just
Well, SAP has multiple products. They have Business Objects, which is another reporting tool.
No. Anyhow, all of these tools, I fail to understand how ServiceNow is a product because the UI is so incredibly bad.
I hate it.
It is so incredibly bad to do. All I think is one of two things must be. Because if the tool is so hard to use, it is like I got to enter my time into ServiceNow, and it's just so hard.
Not only do I have to
like
do it
putting time on task, mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? Let me open the task, give me 5 boxes for each day of the week, and I will write it in
mm-hmm.
for each day.
Yeah,
please
we have
let
to do
me
that.
Do that.
We have to do time tracking
instead,
in there.
Instead, I've got to. Enter the time for each day, and it doesn't show me the day before. So if I take a phone call in between entering my time, I don't know what day I left off. So I got to go to another ServiceNow page and query it in a certain specific way that it only shows my op ID. It's like, really? I can't just enter my time, see where I left off?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if this was like 1996, ServiceNow would be killer.
Well,
that would be a killer thing.
And I think both the differences are now is that when I first started my IT job, everything was for the most part in-house developed, homegrown, and that's what we ran on.
My point that ServiceNow is so ubiquitous, just like SAP, and I've said the same thing mm-hmm. about SAP. Mm-hmm. One of two things has to be true. Either the management reports are like, you know, gold eggs coming out of a goose ass, or there's some sort of pyramid scheme that if you, you know, write or sign the check for enough SAP contracts, you know, you end up on some, you know, pedophile island with all the hot girls. It doesn't make any sense to me that these are products and that they're selling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not on the C-level end that I see these things, but even the other thing is, you know, it's kind of the GIGO thing. It's like, oh, how much time did I do miscellaneous stuff today? Oh, I did 4 hours of miscellaneous stuff today. You know, it's like, well, okay. And so if the C-suite thinks like, huh, we have a lot of miscellaneous stuff going on. We need to, you know, nobody puts in any real numbers on anything they're working on. They just do whatever they think their manager is going to like. So the numbers are completely skewed. None of them have any meaning. And if management thinks they're going to use some sort of business intelligence based on this reporting to, you know, streamline and tune the infrastructure, they're out of their damn minds.
Well, do you have a system that you have to use when you have to travel, or do you just not travel?
I don't travel on this stuff. Okay. I mean, I've gone to conferences,
so,
but that's it.
We use a tool called Concur, which is also another SAP product.
Yeah, right.
Which also ties into TripIt, which I actually just noticed here in the last year or so, that if you look at the TripIt logo, it says TripIt from Concur, so it basically means TripIt is also a SAP product now, SAP product now. But anyway, Concur integrates with TripIt, which is kind of nice. And we get free, I think we get TripIt Pro as, you know, like a, I don't know if I call it benefit,
you know, Elizabeth
whatever.
Warren wants to extra tax people that fly more often, and, you know, especially if you have frequent flyer miles.
Well, that's bullshit. But anyway, when I took my trip in February, I had a unique situation that I've never run into before. It was a pain in the butt to resolve it in Concur. The hotel I stayed at, which was a Marriott residence in Pasadena, California, beautiful hotel, by the way, they charged me I was there for like 4 days, charged me a different rate every day. Concur.
Yeah, but hotels do that.
Well, that's right. They do that, but Concur was dumb because 9 times out of 10, do hotels do that? Nope. They're doing it more often now than they used to. It's almost as bad as shopping on Amazon sometimes, where on Monday you'll have this price, and then on Thursday you'll have a different price. So.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's almost that bad. So, and that's part of the business intelligence they collect when they do these things. You know, as time goes on, they collect business intelligence and they say, well, if we make it this price on Thursday, we'll sell 5 more. So, or that's what they think anyway. It's really the same kind of concept as the political polls, you know. They get so into the numbers, and they look at the numbers, and you say, well, the numbers never fail us. Well, no, that's not true. Because essentially, all the numbers and stuff are just trying to predict human behavior. And that's the thing, is you can't always predict human behavior. So, but, you know, that was a fun report. And a lot of these tools that we have to use just aren't that good. And that's what, as time has gone on, there's more tools, there's more packages that do certain things. I remember when it was less about, you know, I always thought, like, back in the days of Pocket PC, Pocket PC had a robust enough feature set that it didn't really need that many applications. You could have Pocket Office on there. It had Pocket Word, Pocket Power, you know, Pocket, all the different Pocket apps for the Office suite. It had a browser and all that. So it didn't get as many dedicated applications as what Palm did in a day. Palm had all sorts of applications. And one day I was chattering. This is early on in my Gear Diary stint. Which I'm still in. I threw out a dumb question. It says, why do they, Palm, need all these dumb little apps? And it's really, we're back to that. Because in a lot of cases, instead of having a generic app that can do multiple things, we have dedicated applications, which isn't always good. So it just depends on what you want to do, I guess.
That's, you know, I'm kind of annoyed. I'll tell you what I'm annoyed about. I got a phone that has more power than, you know, computers of 4 years ago. let me just run whatever app on the damn phone. Don't let, run it in browser, I mean. Let me just run it in the browser like I would on my home computer. As opposed to, oh, don't you want to install our app? I'm like, no, I don't want to install your effing spyware. I just,
But
please don't crap up my phone with your app.
like when you try to visit a blog in the or a forum and they want you to put Tap It on your phone or whenever you browse a page on
No,
Reddit, they want you to
no,
put the Reddit app. I'm
no,
like, no, I don't want to put the Reddit app.
no.
I don't use Reddit that often, so I don't need a fucking app.
It's like, no, I don't want to share my location. No, I don't want your app.
Web
No,
pages
I
are
don't
just
want
bad though, dude.
updates.
I mean, because web pages, you go to a web page, you go to Joe's web page and says, can we turn on notifications? No, you may not, because I don't need notifications from you.
Because I'm never
Why
coming
does some
back here.
random website want to give me
Yep.
notifications?
Could you imagine if you said yes to every time that happened, how bad that would be?
It's as bad as when when the Windows had the problem with all the stupid freaking taskbars at the birth of the internet. You had Bonsai
Oh
Buddy.
yeah, the weather
You
bug and
had
all
well,
that.
Weatherbug wasn't as was probably now it's probably the least offending of all of them. But you had Bonzi Buddy. Then each stupid website wanted to put a search bar in, like YouTube, or not YouTube. Yahoo wanted to do that. Google wanted it. Well,
Yep.
Google actually. I don't know if Google ever did that. But like every website wanted to do that. It's like no. I mean, I think somebody did an article back then where they did that. They accepted every little stupid little thing. It came down when you installed software. You installed software and installed Real Audio and this and that and all that other stuff. And then they pulled up the browser and there was about 20 freaking bars. It's
And no actual
Oh,
web page.
oh yeah. That's my wife is like, honey, this isn't working. And I, she's got like 10 custom, bars in on her browser, so her browser's only displaying half the size it should. I'm like, that's because you loaded and installed all this crap. She's like, no, I didn't. I didn't install a thing. And I'm like, hell yeah, you did.
Well, that's like with some Android phones.
Well, I didn't
Yeah,
install it.
it's like with some Android phones when you install apps, it'll want to dump an icon on the home screen. I'm like, no, just put it in the freaking app folder, okay? I'll decide if I want to put it on the home screen. Okay? So that's actually one of the greatest things about the Note 10 is
All
the
right,
little side menu.
I've never used those side menus.
I like it because I can have things I use all the time, like a YouTube and Google Pay and stuff. And it doesn't
Yeah, I don't use
yeah,
it
it doesn't
enough.
occupy an icon on my desktop. It makes my desktop look cleaner.
I have folders on my desktop.
Might have that too, but
Yeah, I have folders in the toolbar at the bottom, but I should really be using that side panel
I
that's
do too,
there.
but here
I'm just angry about the side panel because I'm mad that my screen's curved and it's just more impact
here.
vectors for damage on my phone.
Well, you talk about using folders. I've got three on the first screen. I've got one, two, three, four folders on the second screen. And I've actually limited, that's all the screens I
And
have right now. I could add more, but
you can put folders in that sidebar too.
yes,
So
you
I've
can.
got Phases of the Moon, so I know when to be a lunatic and when to watch out for lunatics.
You already are a
I've
lunatic,
got
but
the
that's beside
weather.
the point.
And let's see. I got my Raindar and I got my Waze because I use Waze all the time.
Yep, I've got like
Oh.
wait a minute, why didn't
Joel, what was the last Samsung phone you had before the Note 10?
Three, no three.
All right, so you can have two apps on the screen at the same time, right?
Yes.
So
You could do that with a
Yes, you
three.
could do that with the three.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. Oh, hey, I just found another icon that I got on the second desktop that I can ditch because I had it in the side menu. So, like, my side menu got Google Pay because I like using Google Pay. The hell with Samsung Pay. YouTube, Chrome, I got the Sam's Club app. which I can't.
All right, what is Duo?
Duo is Google's video chat program.
Oh.
Kind of like Skype.
Because that's on my side menu.
Yeah. I've got Roku's app in there because I use my phone almost exclusively for controlling my TV. It came with a remote, but I use that. I have My Chevrolet, which is for my OnStar, Podcast Addict, and the Bible is in there as well. And up at the top, I've got, I believe it's the Samsung Note. Not that I need that there, because you can get the Samsung Note by just pulling the stylus out. Now, it will say bringing that out is kind of a pain sometimes. It's because sometimes when I hit the edge and try and swipe that in, it just moves from one screen to the next, which is kind of a pain. But it's not that bad. Usually I just tap the home button a couple times before I try that, and then I can bring it out. Or I can just open it. I can just bring it. It always works. Like if I have an app, like if I have Gmail open or something and I hit the swipe, it just comes right back out. So, and then I also sort my app menu because of the way Samsung does their app menus. I sort it alphabetically because if you don't, you're going to have difficulty finding things. Because it'll basically just keep throwing icons up in random ways as you're installing things. So like you'll have Postmates, and then you'll have Power Director. Well, in my case, that's alphabetic, but you'll have like Postmates next to Screen Recorder or something else. Something that just doesn't make sense. And I don't. Some people like to control that app drawer. I don't. Just dump it in there. I'll control it. Thank you. I'll find it if it's alphabetical. And then the stuff I use all the time is either on the desktop itself or the side menu. But
did I mention I'm going to the Iraq veteran shoot this week?
That's the third time.
Nope, you hadn't mentioned it.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I might be live streaming, and you can find all of that information on flyingrich.com.
Bitch, you're shilling. I'm just messing around with you. It is now 9:52. We got 8 minutes to go. Unless we want to make it a 3-hour show.
Oh, hell no. I had to pee when the show started. Now what am I going to do?
When's the next mini PC show?
No mini PC show tonight. Yeah, we're going on a 1-month hiatus now.
Might not be a bad thing.
Well, you know, I don't have anything really new to talk about. I don't know that there's any real new hardware out there. You know, there's projects I want to do and haven't done. Just my schedule has been a lot rougher than normal. Cause you know, last, I don't know how many days I was in Georgia and then drove back in the middle of the night and slept most of the day afterward or was useless most of that day. You know, it's just been, and plus I'm in Orlando 5 days a week. So as far as putting out videos and working on tech projects and all that bit, everything is just kind of turned upside down.
Mm-hmm. I do have one question on that.
Question away, sir.
Did you get a Pinebook Pro yet?
No, I didn't get a Pinebook Pro. You know, maybe I'll make that my birthday present, because that's mm-hmm. coming up.
Did Dan send your Pinebook back?
Yeah, I got the Pinebook back, and I'm thinking maybe I need to give that away. I may have to do some sort of
giveaway on your channel. Yeah,
giveaway on my YouTube channel for the Pine Book.
I
haven't really used it. I'm probably not going to use it. I think it needs a good home.
It needs more power, to my opinion. But the other things that are kind of interesting. Now I don't know, the Pine phone isn't shipping yet, but I know that one of them is. I think the Librem is from Purism. I saw Lunduke has his. Of course, he works for them. So,
which is that phone going to be?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Or well,
150.
Oh, really?
Did you say 150?
I don't remember if it was the Pine phone or what was the other one?
Librem.
It was supposed to be like really low cost.
Well, the Pine watch, I definitely want to give a try. Because what the heck? I mean, I do have a Samsung, what is it? Is it Frontier S3? I'm not a crazy fan of watches. I don't think they're so, you know, must-have device. But if you're going to pay $200 for a watch, you might as well get something like this.
I'll say I get a lot of comments on my my Wear OS-based Michael Kors watch. Everyone seems to like it.
Well, I don't care that other people like or don't like
either,
but... for me, the biggest thing about having the watch, I do like the heart rate monitor. I do
absolutely
like the sleep monitor. Is it critical? No, it's nice to have.
The
big
Pine watch, Pine time,
mm-hmm.
$45.
Yep.
The Librem 5 by Purism is $699.
Oof, so that's up there.
That's a so we got 3 gigs of memory though.
Yeah, the prices on the Pine phone that I'm seeing is 150.
I don't know how much of a performer that would be at that level. It could be all right. I didn't know. Yeah, that's the Librem 5 has 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs eMMC, ABGN 2 and 5, as well as Bluetooth 4. I don't know why they list the GPS chipsets. Has a smart card reader apparently. A lot of the typical things. USB C with USB 3 data speeds. 3500 milliamp hour battery. User replaceable on the Librem 5.
Yeah, you don't see that very much anymore.
On any, hardly any of them, yeah. That's like some of the things I'm going to look for my, other than stuff to get decks on a screen, I'd like to get maybe a wireless pad from the car. I'm debating whether I want to spend the money on the Samsung 45-watt charger. I don't know. See, the 45-watt charger, you can get seven hours of battery life for I think 30 minutes.
Yeah, well, your regular USB fast chargers will work with
right,
it.
Correct.
It's not as fast as the 45-watt, obviously, but it is
right now.
Fast.
I have a Anker USB-C charger in the living room. Then I have the one that came with my Pixel 2 in my office, as well as the one for my Note 10. I haven't checked how fast the Pixel 2 charger charges the Note 10, but they all charge it. And I can tell you the Anker one I have in the living room charges it slowly. So I definitely want to at least replace that charger, because I don't like to... pull my chargers out of the office. I'd like to have a charger in multiple places in my home. That way I just don't have to think about it, you know, when I have to charge it. And I might consider looking at a battery pack that has the circuitry in it so it'll charge it faster. But
yeah, just a fast charger on that one.
Yeah, I think I haven't tried it yet with my what's the other one that's other popular battery pack brand that's not Anker? Begins with an R. Damn it, I can't remember. I want to say Rovio, but that's not right.
RAVI?
Rad Power. Thank you, Rad Power. Yeah, that's the one. There actually is another one, another battery pack I'm kind of semi-interested in from, it's by Poder Camino. I just haven't picked it up because it's $100. Yeah, well, and the reason it is it basically comes with a hookup so that I can charge the Surface Pro with it. And it's a 98 watt hour battery. So it's fairly large. But it does have USB, regular USB ports on it, as well as it comes with the connector so that you can hook it into the Surface Pro's connector, because it's not a USB-C or a micro. It's Microsoft's proprietary deal. Basically, their version of MagSafe.
Alrighty, guys. We gave listeners an hour and a half of babble. You want to call it a night?
Yeah.
Because I'm ready.
Just make sure you got Ohio Linux Fest coming in less than a month now. I am planning on going, at least showing up. I probably won't be at like getting the pre or the post parties or anything.
Going, showing up? I mean, you just got to fall out of your front door. And
yeah, practically, yeah. I think what I need to do is I want to look at the schedule and see. I want to see Amber Grainer's talks. The one that's hopefully not, one of them is interesting to me, but I do want to at least show up so I can at least say hi, because she's a nice person. But I have to look and see who else is talking. But I probably won't, you know, since I don't know that many people going this year. I may make a pass, one or two passes through the expo area, and that's about it. Because I mean, it's just, unless there's friends for me to chatter at, there's just no point in me standing there chattering forever, you know.
You're not going to go to any of the talks?
No, I'm planning on doing that. So I might just go down just for the talks that I want to see, you know. But that's probably going to be about it. See, the bad thing about going to a Linux Fest that is in your own town is that it's in your own town and your family kind of expects you to be there when they need you. So,
yeah.
And the same thing goes with other community things that you need to attend to in your own hometown. So,
just tell them Ohio Linux Fest is no longer in Ohio.
I'm probably not going to go to self next year. I'm planning on going to a Dayton Hamvention in Xenia. I got a hotel room already, thankfully. One thing I'm thinking about doing, I've been talking about doing this. One of the things that we kind of notice here, at least in our family, is I don't do a lot of things with Luke. And it's not necessarily by choice. A lot of times it's just because of my work schedule, you know. So I think I kind of toying with the idea of taking a trip or multiple trips just so that we can get to know each other better. And I think one of the things I want to do is I'd like to go down to a Mammoth Cave, and that's the perfect trip that just me and him could go on, because my wife hates caves and hates enclosed spaces. So that is a national park, and it is the world's largest cave system. So the only thing that I'm not thrilled about if I go to make that trip is the stairs, because there are a ton of stairs in the cave.
Hey, just start losing weight.
Yeah. They have one thing that makes me sad on that is one of the tours I took when I was a kid. A lot of people don't know this. There's an actual river in the cave. They call it the Echo River, which connects, I believe it connects to, I want to say the Green River that's connected to the cave system. Anyway, they would take you down in there, and you would get on a boat, and you would ride, basically go from one end of the river to the other. So last I checked, they're not doing that tour anymore because people are assholes. And they were throwing stuff into the water and stuff.
Yep, that's a fairly common theme. People being assholes.
Yep. So I plan on probably doing Probably not gonna do it like a really long one. I'm probably gonna make it like a weekend. So we'll probably do a couple short tours and then one long tour. Definitely don't want to do the I'm not in shape, good enough shape to do the Wild Cave tour. The Wild Cave tour is basically you crawling on your belly in a hard hat in a cave.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it's for me.
Nope. But I like to take him there. It just me and him, not Misty can just stay home. Like I said, I love it. It's one of my most memorable vacations I ever took with my parents. They're in Williamsburg. Ha! I was right. It is the Green River. I'm just on their website now. So, yeah. There's just a lot of interesting history in there because there's a...
Joel, your parents tried to lose you in a cave?
No. They took me in the cave and were right there with me.
You sure they didn't run out real quick? Tell you we'll be right back.
I was telling Lucas some of the stuff that you can see in the cave because there's some... Because how large that cave is, there are creatures that are there that I don't think that are anywhere else in the world. There may be... some in other places, but like there's these weird looking crickets, these salamanders that they've only ever seen in that cave, and blind fish. The fishes, they look like they have eyes, but they don't exist. There's just eye sockets and no eyeball. And it's just evolution. They didn't need it in the cave, so... It's one of my favorite national parks. Other than I haven't got now one this one I'd probably like to take the all the family. I'd like to go to. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. I want to go there.
It's just a big hole. And all my daughter said is she liked the bus ride and the gift shops.
They're in the Petrified Forest would also be neat to see.
Definitely want to see that.
Yeah, I have I think it's right after, either as they were getting ready to retire or right after they retired. My grandparents, they basically took a trip where they really took multiple trips, but through the last, before they started to really decline health-wise, they were able to take enough trips so that basically they'd been to every one of the 48 states. My grandpa drove right through the strip in Las Vegas, didn't even get out to gamble. one of the places they went was the Petrified Forest, and he brought some pieces of petrified wood. I don't know if he was allowed to take them, but my grandpa, he didn't care. So I've seen petrified wood. It's actually really interesting.
Cool.
The only thing I don't like about national parks, can't fly my drone there. They're not allowed. Probably for the same reason that they don't do the Echo River tour, because people are assholes.
Yep.
So... All right, well, it's a little bit after 10. I think I'm going to let's go ahead and wrap the show. Remember, come to Ohio Linux Fest. I should be there. If you're going to be there, please let me know ahead of time so I can plan on at least grabbing some lunch with you down at the North Market.
Hint, Joel wants you to buy him lunch.
I'll eat with you. I will not pay for you necessarily. thanks for listening, guys, and... Have a good rest of your October. Yay! Make sure you send that to Dan.